Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shimon Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak and Shalom. We are now in the second Mishnah of the sixth parak of Masechet Bava Batra, Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Bet near the bottom of the Amud, continuing with issues of selling perot. In this case, Amocher perot l'chaveru hazem areizem kabel alav robat hinofet l'seyah. So if you sell perot, the buyer accepts that there's going to be a quarter kav. Remember, there's six kav and a seyah, so a quarter kav of to have a seyah means 1/24 of tinofet. We'll call it dross for right now. The rest of the Mishnah gives other shiurim of other fruits. Te'inim mekabel alav esur betulah gomea. When you buy figs, you should expect, and therefore he accepts upon himself the possibility of up to 10 wormy figs per 100. Martif shalayin, if you want to buy wine cellar, mekabel alav esur kosot gomea, 10 bad barrels out of 100. Kankanim b'sharon, if you buy in smaller amounts in jugs, in sharon, esur pitziot gomea, again, 10 per 100, 10%. We're going to see more details about the yayin in the next shiur, but right now we'll take a look at the first clause. Tani Rav Katina Rova Kitnit L'Seya. He says the Rova, the one quarter cob that a person accepts, is if there's beans or other edible things in the wheat, but not dirt. V'afurit lo, not dirt. V'amor Rabba Barachia. Kavzushfah, Mishmei de Rabba. Rabba ruled the following. Borer Tzromi Gonosha Chaviro. If a guy removes a pebble from the other guy's granary, he then has to pay him that size in value of wheat. The assumption being that when the guy sells his wheat, he could have a rock in it, a pebble in it, and it would still count as a sale. And therefore you see that it's not just the kitniot, not just dross, kitniot meaning not just edible dross, but even dirt or rocks would count. So the answer we give is kitnit rova, free pachot mirova. To a 1/4 cob, 1/24 of it, that would only be if it was an edible thing like kitnit. But afurit, junk, that's less than a rova. It doesn't say how much it is. The afurit rova, no, but we don't allow up to a revit. So rova means 1/24 of the entire sale of actual dirt or rocks. So hatan, you watch this brighta. Amacha per bachabero, paralleling our Mishnah. So that sounds like Rav Katina's statement. 1/4 cow per seah of beans. So really, Mikalav Rova nishovet l'seah. I called it straw in the henna, but what it really means is stuff that got blown around, kind of stray strands of barley. Again, the same measure. Adashim, what if it's lentils? Mikalav Rova afurit l'seah. If it's lentils, then it's the same shear, but it's dirt. So my love, din l'chitin l'sorin, shouldn't we see this brighta is mix and match? In other words, nishovet or afurit would work for wheat, and kitnit would work for adashim. Saying no, shami adashim to me akar akrilu. Think about it. The way that you harvest lentils is you pull them out of the ground, so dirt naturally comes with them. When you harvest wheat, you cut it, so therefore dirt does not naturally come with them. Ela tamid adashim to me akar akrilu. So let's flip it around. You're saying the only one that allows, that where dirt is allowed, or pebbles or whatever, what have you, is lentils, because you uproot them. Well, chiti usari lam, but not wheat or barley. So tifshat mina, chiti usari da furid lam mekabel. So it sounds like we support Rav Katina here, and this is good support for his position. No, we all have chiti usari mekabel afurid. We don't know that. It could be that a person does, allow, afurid, dirt, when it comes to his wheat, and adashim needs to be chalei. They still had to mention adashim, the lentils. Why the salka dartach? I mean, I might have thought to say, "Kemen yakri akri lehu yotam l'rovin amr the kabbal." I would might have thought to say that since you uproot the since you dig out and uproot the lentils, that perhaps you would accept more than a rova. Kamash Malan, that it's only up to a rova. So we can't really settle up Katina either way. Okay, and that's the end of that. Now the next piece is Rav Huna. And that's a very interesting point is, what happens if a guy sells you really more than a rova of bad stuff? Does he have to pay you back to the rova, or does he have to now pay you back the whole thing? Rav Huna, Balana, both, if you have to sift it, meaning you sift it and you find that you really got too much bad stuff, more than the overage is allowed. Then the guy has to take care of all of it. It means he has to cover all of the overage, as if you bought exactly one se'ah of wheat with no junk. Now, amila din of amila knasa. Some people say that this is the actual din. Some people say that it's a fine. Really mean hadin, you shouldn't have to pay it all back, but it's a fine. Let's see why. Amila din, why? Because mandi ibzuzi a perish a pure yai. When a person pays, he's paying for good food. She's just not going to be matriach to check if it's less than a loaf of 1/24th of the whole thing of junk. He's not going to check. It's more than he'll do the checking because he doesn't want to lose that much. I came in the tarach. Once he has to check because it turns out there's more, then he really has checked the whole thing. He's willing to check the whole thing, and therefore at that point he's really not mochel anything, and you have to pay him the whole bit. In other words, the entire thing is driven by the buyer's mechila, which is now gone. Ramila knas, as we'll say it's a knas. Rova shchiach. Yotera lo shchiach. It's common to have up to a rova of junk in the sale. More than that is not common, which means how do we interpret the fact that there was more than a rova here? V'iyu hu da'ariv, it must be that this guy deliberately mixed stuff in. V'kem an da'ariv kansu rabban machulei. Since he mixed stuff in, the rabbanu were kones him to have to pay the entire thing back. Okay, let's test these out. Meitave, kol se'ah sheish barov min achir. This is now talking about kilayim. Let's say you have a se'ah of one type, let's say of wheat, and it's got a rova kav or some other stuff in it, and you're about to plant it. You only have to take out enough so that it goes to a rova. Right? So, v'ruah d'rova de kilayim kiyotim rova de hacha. Our assumption is that a rova in the case of kilayim is the same thing as more than a rova in our case, which both of them are sort of when you violated the line. The katani yimait, the hertz is yimait, which means you only have to go down, in the case of kilayim, to less than a rova. So that means in our case, you should have to pay back to a rova and not pay everything back. So that challenges Rav Huna's entire reading. Well, rova de kilayim ki rova de hachadami. The rova is the same, which means that if it was a rova, then you have to cut down so it's less. More than a rova, you might have to get rid of all of it. So we have to get, but if that's the same, then in our case, remember, if there's a rova, you don't have to take anything away. You're fine selling 1/24th of other stuff. Why in the case of kilayim do you have to lower it so that it's less than 1/24th? The answer is mishum chumra to kilayim, because kilayim is a very chamur thing, and therefore, the rabbi said that you have to minimize it even if it's only a rova. Yihachi ema seifa, then if that's the case, look at the seifa. Biyosi omer yavor. Biyosi says, no, you have to go in and you have to get it all out. You can't just go down to 1/25th or so. You have to go down to there's none. So yamak bishlaki yota rova tinafadami, if you agree with me with our original assumption that a rova in kilayim is like more than a rova, so bahakami pali, then I understand the machloka tanakama or biyosi. Tanakama savalokatina hateratu misura. Tanakama says that the guy had too much. So therefore, we are not kones him on the heter part, which is less than a 1/24th, because of the isura. You just take out a little bit, so it's not 1/25th. Rabbi Yossi Sava Kansina, Rabbi Yossi says, no, there's a kanas on the whole thing. The minute you went over and you already had a rova of the other seed in the kilayim, we make you get rid of all of it. So that would only work, of course, if we're going to equate having a rova of kilayim being more like a yotemi rova in the commerce. But if you're going to say the rova is like a rova, on my avor, after all, you're allowed to have up to that much. Are Rabbi Yossi, you have to get rid of all of it? The answer is Hatam Hanatam. Rabbi Yossi, we shouldn't have asked Mekan Kilayim. Because Rabbi Yossi says, if you have a rova, you have to get rid of all of it, because once you've discovered that there's some Kilayim there, you have to get rid of it, because it looks like you were sustaining Kilayim around. All right, let's see. Shatoshma. And now we're going to test whether it's a Knas or a Ding. Shnaim Shiv Kiroi Talachad. Famous Sugi and Shuot. What if two guys in Bamitsiya, two guys can't put money with a third? Zeman has amount of time. One of them gave 100, one gave 200. Zeman amount of time. Shalit was Zeman amount of time. Shalit. Collection time. Each guy says the 200 is mine. At the end of Zeman was Zeman. So the Shomer keeps each one in money. Ashayim Menachat Shevo Eliyahu. The third 100 sits until Eliyahu comes. Means until somebody breaks it, admits it, it's never going to be settled. In other words, we're not going to reward the liar. So Hachi Hashta. So therefore you see that you only go down to the amount that you don't take the entire amount away. You're not konis the liar all the way down. So achihashta hatam vade mar the mar mar the mar. But that's not the same case, because in that case, each guy certainly has a maneh v'hacham yemer glav kulei aruvei ariv. In that case, each guy certainly had a maneh, Here we don't know. It could be that the guy, this fellow deliberately mixed up all of the fruit, and therefore really he has no rights to anything. So Tashmam is safe. Rabbi Yossi and Kane Mahifsi Ramai. So look at the safe. Rabbi Yossi's famous dissenting position, where he says the liar loses nothing by saying that the 200 is his. He's still going to get his 100. He says you lose everything. All 300 sits and waits till somebody breaks. They try to keep a guy from lying. The difference is that in that case, there's certainly a liar. But in this case, who says that he mixed it in? Maybe he didn't mix it in, and therefore we're not going to recognize him the whole piece. Meir says that if you have a shtar that was ripped in it, you're fine, you lose the entire loan. You can't collect anything. Alright, so that would be like here, like having to lose the entire loan. Hatam vade karna deteru. This is a different case. Hatam shakti bahuda avadle shuma. Here, the minute that you wrote the bad shtar, you've already violated the law. We don't know that this guy mixed in the stuff, so therefore we can't be cognizant of the whole thing. And that's what we'd say, we only cognizant him down to perhaps against Rav Huna, we can't prove Rav Huna. But Chacham is saying, no, that you can collect the Karen, but not the Ribit. So that would seem to be against Rav Huna. That doesn't tell me anything, because in this case, the Karen certainly is appropriate. You lent money, you should get the money back. And here it's possible the guy mixed in the fruit deliberately, the bad stuff in deliberately, because there, of course, is more than a quarter. So you can't prove to support Rav Huna or against Rav Huna from here. Toshman, Tami Ravin Bar Rav Nachman. Rolatam Mutabil Vadim Machzir, Machzir and Kol Ravin Kulan. This is Sugya later in the next parak, where you sell a certain amount of land and you say, Ben Chaser Ben Yatem, means more or less. So there's a certain amount that you're mochel, rova per sa'ah. And let's say that it turned out there was more. The seller has to give you everything back, and not just the overage above the amount that you're mochel. So you see when you're supposed to return, you have to return the whole thing. It's not the same. Hachi hashta hatam hein chaser hein yatir kamalei. And it's not the case, because in that, and over there you said, more or less, meaning me a revia lochashi. Meaning you said, I don't care about a revia. More than Raviya is more than me. Why? It came in Chazlitz through for Tisha Kamin, because in a Beit Kur, you count up that amount, it comes up to Tisha Kamin, which is a significant amount of land. And that you wouldn't be Mochel. Therefore, it's significant land, and you have to return it. Because once you've had that much overage, what you've done is cheated the guy really out of a significant piece of land, so it has to come back. As opposed to this case, where each thing that there's that the guy is mochel, he understands that he's going to get some junk, that amount, so maybe you only have to minimize it down to the rope and not all of it, like Rav Huna. So we can't support Rav Huna from here. Toshmahau, no, pachot mishtut, nikmemekach. Renoma dinavona, if it's less than 1/6 off, the deal's good. Yoter mishtut, if it's more than a sixth, otamekach, the deal's off. Shtut, if it's exactly a sixth, kanal machzer onah. You have to return the onah. But you have to return the entire onar, and you don't return just to make it less than a sixth. Amai leharar pachot mishtut. So if, well, against Rav Huna, why don't we just say, let him return it so that it's less than a shtut, but not the whole onar. So shema minako, hechad by ladure, kolim mehadar. This seems to support Rav Huna that says anytime you have to return, you have to return the whole thing, not just to get it within the acceptable limits. The answer is, hafi hashta hata mikara shavu shavu amarle. Now that's not the case, because in the case of onar, you're buying something, you're really expecting it to be right. If it's less than a sixth, you don't even know the difference. If it's exactly a sixth, then you already notice it, and you're not mochel it. But that's not the same thing here. Here you know there's going to be junk mixed in. Maybe there's a little more junk, so maybe you only have to lower it down the amount. We still can't support Rav Huna. So last piece, you do a couple of nudes here, sort of like sharecropping. In a field, you agree, accept that 10 out of 100 trees are going to be bad trees, won't flourish properly. But if there's more than 10, then the guy has to pay it back for all of it, not just down to 9 or 10. He has to take care of all of it, which seems to support Rav Huna. Again, I can't prove Rav Huna because whenever you have more than 10 bad trees per 100, you really have to start the entire process over. And so therefore, it's really starting fresh, as opposed to in this case, where you could still have your fruit and go down to a rova and still be acceptable. So we can, again, cannot support Rav Huna from this, from these rulings. Okay, we'll pause at this point, pick it up on the discussion of the Martiv Shel Yain in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful